the MMA Roadshow, episode number 465. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. Not in Mexico. We didn't make the trip to Mexico. We also did not make the trip to Saudi Arabia, although we talking plenty about those big events that are coming up. I love the way Saturday is laid out because these schedules do not overlap at all. If you want to watch every single bout from PFL versus Bellator and UFC, you can, and that's actually my plans for Saturday. So we did not make those trips. We were actually home in Las Vegas at the amazing, beautiful, sprawling estate of the Casa de Cole Coffee, where the as impressive as the estate is, I mean, it's really the gym facilities that continue. Yeah. The gentleman that you have in charge of decking out and the contracting space there is doing a lovely job, and he's added some new gear here close to our studio spot. From the studio, if I peer outside the window, I can see down into the entertainment area where have, it looks like to me, a biking suite, I believe they call that.
is that what they call that?
Where they call that, where you can actually watch movies.
Yes. Well, that, in that case, you're correct.
I believe a spin suite, I believe they call that. It's a spin suite.
Yes. Some or could just call it a bike in front of a TV.
Don't ruin the illusion.
I like the spin suite. I'm like, dude, I can see it. I see it. Yeah, the gym was starting to runneth over, and to make some more space, I was like, I'm gonna take a page out of your book, and I was like, I'm gonna put the exercise equipment right there in front of the TV. I was like, and it makes so much sense because, like, this doesn't really have like an attachment for like an iPad or whatever, so like it's not like one of the super super fancy ones. So I was like, well, I could just
trying
watch
to keep
the
it
TV.
Humble, I see.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, with like the peoples out there.
Or were you like Dana White and you found out the Peloton guy said something you didn't like?
That's exactly. I was like, take this fancy bike back. I want my pure MAGA bike. This is a Magerputic XR. It's called an XR-putic or whatever. But just because, like, if you're riding the thing, you know, and it's funny, we've joked about it before. Both of us, when we try to ride the bike, after a while, your butt starts falling 100%. Asleep and it's not very comfortable. Yeah. But if I'm watching a show, I'm able to be distracted for a little bit. And that's all it is. You know, I'm not doing crazy sessions. Like, when I watch people do these, like, spinning, like, viral videos where they're dancing, they're jumping their arms, I was like, that's nuts. Like, I was like, one, I feel like I would break my bike if I tried doing some shit like that, but maybe the expensive ones, or maybe it's just skinny people can do that sort of shit. But yeah, just, you know, it's nice to get on it, you know, every once in a while to kind of stretch it out a little bit. But yeah, the gym was getting a little full. I've been adding some different little stuff in there.
It's pretty ridiculous. The membership roster is growing.
Yes,
right?
It is. You know, got Fiasco Jones is coming in tonight for his workout session. I'm trying to get him to come over more often, but I've got him to commit to one day a week, which is better than no days a week.
Yes, it is.
Trying to get my man back on it, you know, because back at the UFC gym, the headquarters back in the day, he was like my CrossFit buddy, so we did like a bunch of CrossFit shit together and stuff. So I knew he wanted to get back into it, and he's been trying to do it again. And it's funny, you know, just like me and you have talked about it, he's talked about it. As we age and as time starts to go, you know, you've got to start taking your health back. And he's really sort of just been like, yeah, me and the wife are trying to get back on. And I was like, well, brother, dude, if you need somebody to just work out, I was like, I'm looking for somebody to like make me go into the garage and work out. So I was like, if you're willing to give me the time, pick a night, man, and let's just do it. So it's fun him coming over and doing it, and kind of like when Oscar does, I get to use all my methods and all my little stuff that I've been reading up on.
The conjugate method.
The conjugate method is, I referencing West Side Barbell for all you West Side Barbell heads, which there's probably none on this that listen to this. But
no, you, sir. We're talking to you, sir. Yeah. That one. Somebody's like, "Not me?
I know West Louis Side Simmons." Yeah, Louis Simmons and West Side Barbell. It's funny, like, you'll see some, like, Matt Brown. And I remember seeing Lance Palmer and some of the other cats that are from the Columbus area. Every once in a while, I would see, like, the T-shirts, and it just makes me nostalgic because I look back at this gym. And, you know, like, I first started going to this gym when I was, like, 13 years old, and it was, like, invite only. And, like, this chalkboard on the wall of like world records. So like you'd see these just ginormous dudes in there breaking, you know, records, but they were juiced to the gills. But it was like it didn't matter, you know.
Right, who cares?
Like, they were world record holders. Like it was a power lifter gym. It was not like a hey, let's look fancy and let's do selfies. Like they would probably break somebody's phone if you tried to like take selfies. And at the time, they didn't want people like showing their methods and other sort of stuff. But so like a lot of the stuff that I've been trying to read and get back into is a lot of the stuff like this creator of this gym did and stuff. And I was joking with you and I was chatting with you. It's like, I wish I would have did this 20 years ago, not when I'm, you know, on the doorstep of 50, but you know, I'd rather be doing on the doorstep of 50 than the doorstep of 60 or never doing it stuff. So
out here breaking PRs, making
working
gains.
On getting PRs and stuff. I'm telling you, man, like it's funny. I was telling Oscar about the chalkboard. Like you'll see in a bunch of, if you ever do any searches from like old West Side Barbell videos, you'll see like these chalkboards on the wall where they had like PRs. And so I've set that eye on him. I was like, bro, we need to set some stuff up, man. Let's start putting some PRs. And then the other day he ordered like a chalkboard. I have no idea what sort of chalkboard it looks like. I'm imagining one small, like little school teacher one. And that's fine to start. It's fine to start. So, yeah, dude, I mean, we're getting into it. I mean, it's just fun because it's something that's healthy for us, something to do, keeping us out of the bar, keeping us out of trouble and stuff. And, you know, just trying to hold myself better accountable to – you know, the health. If I want to keep doing what we're doing, traveling and doing this shit, it's not going to work if I'm just getting old and my body starts giving out on me. And I mean, can't run away from Father Time, you know. So, but yeah, so I'm having fun with these kids coming over and letting me test all this old school methods out and shit.
It's funny because I also you got the conjugate method about West Side Barbell. Yeah. I actually got the double fist method from just West Side Bar, and so it's I'm actually.
Oh, yeah, you got to watch the double fist method.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, is a part of my youth as well and something that I'm really trying to get back into a little bit, you know, as I get a little bit older.
Oh, but, you haven't given up the double fisting.
All right, listen, man, this past weekend was UFC 298. Of course, we already recapped it all on the and a half episode over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. So appreciate everybody that gave it a listen and everybody that supports us over there. But just wanted to get maybe any final thoughts you had after letting it soak in. It is funny, right, because you and I together, we're together in Anaheim, California. I told everybody on the and a half episode about our best intentions of potentially getting together and maybe doing a dual voice and a half episode. You know, we never really get a chance to do that, and we were together. But the traffic got a little slow bringing fighters back into the post-fight area, and so we got out of there kind of late. And there's a little bit of a drive back to the hotel, and I fully intended on pulling an all-nighter and knocking that out and knocking out my rankings panel and all that, and then just hopping on a plane and going home. But I feel like by the time we made it back to your hotel room, I think each of us was just like, yeah, this ain't happening, is it? Like, this is definitely not happening.
And the frosty chill of the room made you want to go into hibernation mode. It's funny. You came in there. You were like, it's so cold. I was like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm like, here, we'll chat in 1 second. I went to the bathroom. And I came back. You had pulled the sheet and the cover off of the one bed because the room I had two queens in it. And, like, you were, like, bundled up in, like, a chair. And I was like, okay, yeah, he's done for. He's done for. And I remember I was like, if you want to do the and a half, I can help. And we'll do whatever. You're like, and I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to lay on the bed. Yeah. And I was like, I think I'm going to put my iPad.
There wasn't a whole lot of arm twisting going on. Like, cold coffee didn't come as much as I will say you did offer. And
did
it
offer.
Wasn't even in like a terribly passive aggressive way. I think had I said, let's do it,
I
would have done it.
I would have.
But
did
I could
it.
Also sense from you that you were feeling the same vibe I was. And, yeah, once I said, well, I could probably just bang it out in the morning, you were like, okay.
I was like, cool. Let me put my headphones in. I'm going to watch this iPad, and I'm out.
All right. But it was a great event. I mean, it was funny because I think we both really, really enjoyed the event. And obviously, it ended with fireworks that people are still talking about with Ilia Topuria, man. It's been cool. You get reminded of this. And not that Alexander Volkanovski didn't have a country behind him, but, you know, Ilia especially being the first from Spain. You know, you really see it when you have these athletes that come from a country that doesn't have 100 athletes to pick from. You know, it's their guy. It's their breakthrough guy. It's their one guy. It's pretty cool to see the way, man, he's hitting, like, mainstream sports coverage and all these other athletes are coming out of the woodwork. And, boy, I tell you what, I feel like the fans are responding to Ilia right away as well. I don't know. I mean, it seems like everybody I talk to, everybody I see, like everybody feels like this is a dude that potentially could reign in this division for a while and has true superstar potential.
Yeah, outside of like Yair Rodriguez, I think everybody's into it.
Yair's not a fan.
Yair is not a big fan.
Down in Mexico City, if you were not certain about the status of that rivalry, Yair made it be known. He didn't even try to play games like
not at all.
You know, hope we meet down the road sometime.
I was kind of casually paying attention. I was doing an edit on something else. And then I knew Yair got up there, and I didn't even hear anybody ask the question. Just all of a sudden, there was just like a string of F-bombs. I was like, wait, what is going on over here? Rewound a little bit. It was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, he was fired up. But, yeah, I mean, as for Ilya, I mean, it's our Danny Secura, who's down in Mexico covering this event. He loves soccer. He follows all the sport teams, you know, overseas, and he's been big about bringing up like different coverage that's going on over in Spain and other areas where normally the coverage all about soccer or football, you know, wall to wall, never ending or whatever. But now Ilya graced the pages of like this magazine or this daily paper, which is huge. In terms of like it's always just soccer talk, you know, nonstop. So, yeah, I mean, like I think within a performance like that and doing what he did, in a sense, made it look kind of easy.
You hate to say that because it sounds disrespectful, but it's just honest.
But it just he caught him, you know. Like, and Volk said at the end of the night, you know, like he felt like he was starting to get good, but he get caught. And when somebody gets caught like that and just sort of just gets laid out, it's hard to not make it, you know, to call it what it is. And it just looked easy. But that's the beauty of that. Of a great knockout, you know, it just looks easy because it comes so easy. It just ends the night and it's done. It wasn't like he needed to follow up. It wasn't like he hurt him and then he recovered and then he beat a battered Volk. I mean, he just took him out in a quick little flurry of punches. And guy's got all the talent in the world. You know, I lean towards the champ because I mean, you've got to take it from the champ, and that's what he did. You know, he seems to say the right things. It's pretty interesting that he already has a huge sort of hit list of people that are not fans of his and other fighters. He's definitely has alienated some fighters and pissed off some fighters along the way. But you know, in terms of having a guy that has a market that's ripe for the UFC to kind of just launch into and a market that seems to be into it. The fact that these major sports athletes in soccer and tennis are embracing him. I mean, like there's huge potential for crossover and a huge potential to make a big splash in that market over there. So, dude, I mean, the stars are aligned for him to make a big play. So, I mean, if they just keep teeing up the right fights for him, I think he definitely could be a huge star. And I don't know if that means – as much as I love Volk, I mean, I'm not interested in seeing that right away. As much as I know people want to immediately see it.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
I'd rather him take some time off.
I agree.
You know, just for – it wasn't – and this is where it sounds like I'm shitting on. It wasn't even like it was sort of close. Like,
no, it wasn't.
Was, but it wasn't. You know, like it just – Volk never got really started in my eyes.
My
you know?
Highest praise that I had in my notes as I was taking him was just like – Volkanovski's moving well. And that ain't much. I mean, this. You
That's
know what I mean?
He had to keep moving. Like,
he did.
He was on the back foot half the time.
And,
you know,
and again,
was
I don't mean to disrespect
it.
A great champion. I'm not disrespecting a great champion. I'm just saying in that
just
particular performance.
Just calling it how it was. Yeah.
That he didn't fight like he normally does. Ilya fought fantastically. It's just. Yep.
I mean, because when you do the disservice is when you give too much credit because there is that love for like one of the fighters in there. You know, like if you take the fact that it was Volkanovski and just say fighter B was on the back foot the whole time and the other guy was pressing the pace and doing the other stuff and take the fact about how much you like the particular fighter out of it. It was a great night for one particular fighter, and the other fighter just didn't seem to kind of wasn't able to establish himself. And that was just Topuria's fight style, man. And we've seen him take damage. We've seen people fight back, but man, Volk just was never able to kind of get those shots to make Topuria sort of slow down and not push it. It just felt like, right from when it started, when he was pushing the pace and pushing Volk towards the cage and then backing him up, there was just no answer for it. You just felt like it was coming. You're like, something's coming. Is there going to be an answer for it? And there wasn't.
And there wasn't.
Know? And it was done.
So, and you kind of touched on it, because I actually feel the same way you do, is that I would actually like to see Volkanovski take some time off. I know we talked to him that night, and he was like, listen, the knockout had nothing to do with it. I'm good to go. And in fairness – that was very respectful of him as well. He was saying, can't make excuses. That knockout had nothing to do with it. Ilya was the better guy. I mean, Volkanovski was carrying himself as the classy guy he is.
Yep.
But I'm with you. I just think that's two knockouts now. And another quick turnaround would not be good, especially when you got somebody with the hand. It wasn't like Ilya got lucky or he didn't expect that. Yeah. I mean, he's got power. So I'd like
to see
him.
Took no damage at all.
And you add in the fact that we've got a pretty damn good featherweight contenders fight happening this weekend between Brian Ortega and Yair Rodriguez, both of whom, by the way, speak Spanish. So if there is ability, now I don't know if they're going to be able to pull off this Spanish event that fast because, you know, there's venue availability and all that stuff. But if they can line up Spain for his first title defense as he wants it to be, as Dana White wants it to be, in Yair and Brian Ortega, you've got two guys that can go do the local media, right, and not need translators or anything like that. They can speak the language, so that's good. And as you touched on, if it's Yair, and we'll see what happens in Mexico this weekend, that's like a damn grudge match. Like, those dudes do not like each other. And so that thing gets really, really interesting. So I don't know. I guess we got to kind of wait and see. Like, you know, if you're the UFC, there's no reason to make a commitment today, right?
I was going to say, that's the best part right now. I mean, like, Volk had a really good point, though, at the end of the night. He's like, it's not like this fight's going to happen right away. He's going to want to go spend time with his family. He's going to want to go and do the champ tour. I mean, if he doesn't defend the belt for 6 months – maybe I consider something different. 6 months is a lot different than just say, hey, come back in 3 months, 4 months. 6 months is different. That's half a year. I mean, I'm not so much worried about Volk in 6 months' time.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, like, whether you're have the strictest, concussion protocol, it's not going to.
Yeah, 6 months.
Six months, you're good. You know, so if that's the case and they go over and say, I mean, like, I don't think it's going to be, but say Ortega and Yair is a stinker of a fight and nobody's clamoring for the winner.
I mean, let's knock on some wood. There's no way in hell that happens, right?
I mean,
there's
like,
no way
I feel
hell.
Like I can't jinx that by saying that. Unless something happens that doesn't, you know, just scream that they need to be the shot. I mean, Dana's always – he loves rivalry. He loves a heated thing. And, I mean, if you got Topuria ready and yelling, like if Yair gets it, Topuria's going to call him out. He's going to be like, yo, what's up? You know, like we can do this thing. I think he's more apt to just want to fight whoever's going to be the potential and the possibility of Spain. It doesn't matter to him who it is. But 6 months, if Volk's a possibility, maybe that's it. If this fight's kind of a stinker, Volk maybe has a chance. But if it's not, still, I can see one of these guys. But then again, you're still not going to get it within 4 months. You know, even if they take damage, they're going to need time to recover from that. We're not going to see him fight for 3 or 4 months. So depending on when this is, it's pushing towards that six-month period. You know, so who knows? But I personally don't want to see, even if it is that 6 month, I'm not quite sure. I still want to see it because at that time, I mean, this sport moves so quick. There's so much trash talk. There's so much shit that just captures your mind. It's not like we're going to forget Volk's reign, but it's like that heat of actual two potential fighters actually hating each other and getting in there. And then being able to solve all the BS, you know, in the cage, it's awesome. I'd rather see that than, unfortunately, seeing Volk get a chance to get it back because
I agree.
There's no guarantee from that. Because if we take another, you know, honestly, if we take another ass whipping and he loses twice, that's it.
Yeah, we've seen that spot. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I'm like, oh, you know, let's give him a third shot. You know, he's earned it. He's had this reign for whatever. And at that point, you know, Volk needs to really, you know, think about what's next. I mean,
I hate to say that, but
yeah, I mean,
this game is merciless. You talked about it in your personal life, but it's true in this sport for sure, man. Father Time waits for no one, man. It moves quick, especially in the lighter weight classes, man. Now, when you're talking about heavyweight, you might be able to survive a little bit longer, you know, a little longer in the tooth.
Yeah,
not in those lighter weight classes, man. Yeah. Speed and it's just it's there.
And everybody's just catching them. And that was the unique thing. Looking at the UFC Mexico media day. Looking at some of these cats we just watched come off like the Contender Series, Zell Huber and all these cats, and it's like, holy cow, like the crop of upcoming fighters is just so intense. It's so amazing. You know, these guys that are able to do it, and that's why, you know, guys like Jim Miller are just such unicorns. It's just amazing how they've been able to have a long career in this sport. And, you know, the time of like these champs having these crazy long reigns just seems like it's over. In a sense, unless there's a guy that just coming on and is just an absolute anomaly. Like, you know, the fact of, you know, the possibility of somebody holding onto a belt for longer than a year or 2 years that's very active is so hard.
Hard.
It's so hard. And if you're an aging athlete, no matter how talented you are, you know, it's just one more disadvantage against some of these upcoming kids that haven't taken all the licks, all the reps, and their bodies just recover, you know. And that's no offense to, like, the older guys. It's amazing that they're still able to do this sport at that level. But it's just one of those things, you know, and it's only going to get harder. And you look at these athletes coming up, man, it's just amazing. It's amazing, the physicality and the technicality of it.
It was, you know, I think it was the other day. I think it was Jack Hermanson, if I remember right, in the media day. Remember, voiced exactly that. He's like, guys, I just, you know, because basically the question to him was, hey, man, you were out for a year in the middleweight division, man. It got topsy-turvy crazy while you were gone. You know, what did you think? And he's like, well, of course it's exciting. Like, I'm in this division. I was paying attention. He's like, guys, I think you need to be well aware. I just think as the sport continues to evolve, man, you're not going to see long-reigning dominant champions anymore. Like, it's too hard, man. This thing is – everybody is at too high of a level now. You know what I mean? And so the things are going to change hands. I think maybe it's just from a fan point of view, I guess the message probably to fans is, hey, man, when you find somebody that you identify with and you like, jump on that bandwagon and ride it, because it might not last very long, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
And if you get a chance to go see him live, like, go see him live, you know, like, support that fighter, you know, go support him, you know, follow him on social media, do the things, because I mean the time here is it's not guaranteed to be long. And it's a whole different game if you're actually able to make it to an event and support your dude or your lady that you root for. It's amazing. It's something. But yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee of many events. So yeah, you're right, man. If you have somebody that you're homering for, go see them.
Go homer.
No sense of waiting and sitting on the sideline.
UFC 300. The news came out. I want to get your take on it because I feel like, and maybe. I guess I'm showing my cards already, but I don't know. I feel like the criticism of it is crazy. I feel like the criticism of people saying that this did not live up to the hype, this did not live up to the expectations. I don't know. I'm a little bit shocked by it. I mean, this was not the title fight that I expected. I mean, obviously we originally expected maybe we'd have John Jones here. You know, maybe this would be John Jones and Stipe, which. Hey, some people weren't even excited about that. Then we started thinking, well, maybe we'll have Izzy and DDP here. I think a lot of us, including myself, thought that was certainly a big enough kind of big enough star power and big enough rivalry that could headline UFC 300 effectively and people be okay with that because they're going to have a rivalry and a story. We know what leads into that, that would be something good. And we end up settling. Well, I said settle the other night.
See?
You know what?
See?
By the way, I will defend myself because Dana called me out for saying settling. I did not mean settling in the terms of falling short of what was hoping for. What I meant was, you know, you make a decision on something. Yeah. Like, well, ultimately, we settled on this. Like, we were considering here. Ultimately, we settled on here. I don't know. I definitely get the connotation in that, but that is not how I intended that to be, by the way. I just wanted to throw that out there. And I just said it again and again. I did not mean it for that connotation. What I meant was what we ultimately decided. And I don't care what Dana says. I mean, he can say whatever he wants, but I that's not what I meant. I think this is a great fight. I think it's a good fight card. I think it's UFC 300 worthy, whatever that may mean. And I don't know. I guess maybe that's bucking against the popular trend is to say that this card sucks or whatever. I just don't see it that way. I think this card is pretty sick. And you know, I guess I can understand some people saying, man, I thought it was going to be one of those other fights you mentioned, and that's why I'm a little disappointed it's this one. And I can understand that. But I feel like people were making these weird expectations, like, I kept seeing, you know, when Dana was like, dude, this card is going to be like something you've never seen before, which it is. I think this card is like something we've never seen before. The number of, you know, reigning or former champions is insane. But I started hearing people saying, oh, you think Brock will be back? You think Ronda will be back? You think Khabib will be back? You think GSP will be back? And I just never thought any of that was even remotely possible. And so I just feel like maybe people's expectations were like, it was going to be King Kong versus Godzilla or something.
Well, to be honest, I was kind of expecting King Kong versus Godzilla.
Of course.
I mean, the way that it was set up, you know, Dana, you know, and I feel like when you pointed out, you did say, like you said, you know, there's cards full of former champions. That's fine. I kind of feel like that was kind of part of, like, somebody putting extra, like, that seems like a selling point. Like, when somebody's like, well, look at this card. While we still only have two title fights, we've had three title fights on an event before.
Right.
This has, like, six former champions
on
the card.
I think it's 10. I think it's 10 reigning or former.
Well, still, but what is...
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, we've got down there because you got Jessica,
six.
Jessica, Holly, Cody, Davison. I'm just dragging up Max, Justin, Charles, Aljamain, Geary, Whaley, Alex, and Jamal.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. But it's a lot. But like, I mean, like, who sells that though? Who says, guys, I want you to watch this event because it's going to have a bunch of former champs. Because, you know, Trump would say they're all losers, and it doesn't matter what they said. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry for all our Trumpers that listen to this. I'm just kidding.
Right.
I think when they, you know, they could have sold it, like, if that was the case. You know, in the beginning, they said, this card is so stacked of former champs or whatever, then people would have understood. But the way they made it sound was that top to bottom, like, the main event was going to be this event that everybody was clamoring for. And while Alex and Jamal is a great fight and it is good to kind of see it, you know, you have people saying, like, was Jamal, are you good? Like, Jamal had to come out the other day and say, my Achilles is good. Like, things are good. Like, I just feel like – and also he's like, I just found out about this, like, 2 days ago or whatever. Like, bro, you were selling us on an event that was going to be this shit, but the guy finds out about it, like, 3 days prior, you know. It just kind of leaves you a little bit iffy on, you know, what you actually thought of the card. But I understand they were trying. They tried. I give them credit. They tried to make it. The fights just played out, and I think we've talked about it before. You know, when you have this many events and this many crazy pay-per-views that are sort of in this close little run, I think they maybe sort of lost track of these milestone ones. You're like, there's only going to be one 100, there's only going to be the one 200, there's going to be 300, and the next major big giant one is going to be 400, and then after that 420. You know, but looking on,
bringing
it
back
is,
Nate and Nick for that one, like, no matter where they are in their career, right? I mean, we talked about it for 209, but yeah, let's get them for 420, right?
I mean, they're just like, oh man, I forgot about it. That way. I meant to call him, but I got stoned and forgot about it. The matchmaker got stoned and forgot about it.
That would be 120 pay-per-views from now, so we're talking about 10 years from now. So yeah, they'd be, what, late 40s, early?
You know they're still going to be in shape.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
they're still
going to
be in shape. You know, I'm not mad about that. You know, when you, and like you said, when you look at the card top to bottom, and it's kind of crazy when we just went through the list, and it was like there was, what, one or two events, two fights. Well, roughly 1, 2, 3, 4 fights probably that doesn't have a former champ in it is pretty crazy.
And look, and think about this too. You know, a pay-per-view, right? I mean, I know that obviously we're in the hardest of hardcore and that we, like, live this stuff all day. Like, we literally get paid to just watch this stuff all day, every day, right?
Yeah.
But even us who watch this all day, every day would admit, I think, that sometimes, like, even on a pay-per-view card, like an early prelim, you're like, what did they do in their last fight? Like, hold on, where did this dude come from again?
And that's
hang
not
on
their fault. That's just the just
it's just because there's so many. There's so
it's
many fights.
So
you're like, wait a minute, is this his second fight? Oh, it's his third fight. Shit, damn, it's already his third fight. That happens, right?
Yeah, 100%.
There's no, I mean, there's not a name on here that when they walk into the cage, you're not going to be like, now what have they done recently? I don't recall. What, you know?
Yeah.
Who is this again?
Even looking at, like, Diego Lopez, who's this upcoming just, like, stud that everybody's. I mean, the guy's got future champ written on him. I mean, like, Kayla Harrison making her debut.
Bobby, I'm so stoked
like, that's
for that
huge
one.
Everybody loves to see Jim Miller and Bobby Green. You know, that wasn't the initial, you know, name that we thought would be across the line from. But I mean, who's mad at a Bobby Green fight? And let alone with Jim Miller, you know what you're going to get. It's going to be awesome.
So what I'm saying, like, so I guess that's what I'm saying. Like,
you know,
I feel like everybody is so focused on the main event not being what they thought the main event would be that they're not looking at the card as a whole and realizing, bro, you're gonna have six straight hours of ranked fights. You know what I mean? Whereas a lot of times, you know, you get through all the prelims and maybe you're on the main card before you finally have a ranked fight that has some meaning in the division or something along those lines. And I don't think that exists here. So I don't know. I like this card.
It's a great card. I don't think it's a matter of, like, you know, whether people are going to like it or not like it or appreciate the top to bottom value. I think people just felt like they got let down. Like they were being promised that, hey guys, this is going to be, when you find out, you're going to be blown away. And it was just, Dana kept trickling it along, and I think people felt more of that, not let down in the sense of like, bro, you were keeping it a secret that you didn't have a main event, but you kept teasing us, making us think, wait, just wait for it. And I think that's the part that people I don't think are upset about the card. They're maybe more upset about the way that it went through. And it's like, if you would have just said, like, the card is going to be of the stellar nature, like a card of this type is going to be, when you get the final product, it's going to be top to bottom, it's going to be fantastic, and you're going to enjoy it. I think when they promised, like, it was going to be this end-all, be-all, everybody immediately started thinking that the main event was going to be, I'll tell you right now, I wasn't thinking Alex Bahe and Jamal Hill by any stretch of the imagination.
It was not on my radar.
It didn't even come on the radar. And that's the part that I think people were just like, bro, we're coming up with all these possibilities. That scenario was never even an issue. It was never even a thought. And I think that's the part that people were like, they were like, you kept telling us, just wait. And then we find out something was decided 3 days or a couple days before you make the announcement. It's hard for people to not be like, oh, you tried pulling wool over our eyes. You tried getting one over. I think people are, well, they're going to get over it, and they're going to be like, this card's fantastic. Right. I think there's just that initial, like
nobody's protesting that night. Yeah. And you're like, bro, I'm not watching this card.
That would be absolutely ridiculous. I mean, when you look at the card's absolutely incredible. And it's just, it could have been sold that, hey, guys, it's going to be a great card, regardless of what the main event's going to be. But, you know, top to bottom, 300, we're going to bring it. But they just set it up, you know, I think with all – and it didn't help that Connor and all these fighters off to the side were sort of just like saying, 300, put me on there. And the UFC not saying like, okay, that's not going to happen, this, you know, and not having a clear idea of who it was. Because I think, you know, to give them credit, they were trying. They were trying to get the Jon Jones. They were trying to – maybe they were trying to get the Connor. Maybe they were trying to do all these things and they just couldn't –
I didn't even think Connor was one of the ones that we were going to
– you know?
I thought for sure Connor.
I mean, they tried. At the end of the day, I give them credit for trying. It's just, you know, I understand people's frustration because they felt like if you're willing to, you know – put a card together days before, how can it be this thing that you've been telling us for 6 months is going to be the end all be all when you didn't even know what it was going to be yourself? And I think that's what more people are more like, oh, I'm just not sure. It was shady how it went, but whatever, they'll get over it. Because when the night comes and just like looking at this card, it's a sick card. It's a great card. I mean, like, if somebody's willing, like, you know, a lot of people are saying, is 298 better than 299? Is that better than 300? Like, there's been these really good run of cards, but when you look at this card,
sick.
This card's fantastic.
It's sick.
It really, really is. Jessica Andrade is the opening act against Marina Rodriguez. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That fight is easily a main card fight.
Yeah, and then they say Davison Cody is going to be the first fight of the night. Like, that's insane.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's
– let me ask you a weird question. Would public sentiment have been any different if Pejeda and Jamal Hill was a surprise co-main event addition and all along, from the initial announcement, it was Gaethje and Holloway as the main event? Would people buy into that, you think? Or is that like, come on, dude, that's a made-up title? Or do you think? I mean, because those are two of the biggest stars, two of the most loved figures. You think people would have had a bigger, like a better reaction if they're like, yep, Gaethje and Holloway, UFC 300 – BMF titles on the line, and then
could be.
I think so too.
It's just the only weird thing. So it's just the weird thing is that, you know, because I think we've talked about this before about when it comes to the pecking order of what like a real belt as opposed to the BMF title, which now has kind of become this repetitive sort of belt that they said was only going to get defended
one
once. It's just kind of weird putting a BMF title upon above actual like belts, but in terms of who are people going to be more excited about? No disregard, you know, no disrespect to Alex or Jamal, Justin and Max is much more like the people's fight.
I think if they'd have just said that's the main event, and I get it.
People would have been stoked.
They were looking for the other stuff.
Like, because they didn't even think that the BMF belt was was a possibility to be defended on this thing. I mean, I think as we see it more and more, and if it keeps just getting thrown on stuff, then maybe the wow factor is going to kind of wear off. But if people were expecting that, hey, there's probably going to be a couple title fights on this, and then lo and behold, out of nowhere, the BMF belt is coming back and we're getting Gaethje versus Holloway for it, I think people would be like, hell yeah, dude. Like, that's awesome. And that probably would have been
too.
A better win. I don't think people would have been pissed off about it. I think it was just the wishy-washiness of it that just kind of threw people off. But
if that's your criticism, I guess that's a fair criticism of saying, if you're saying, hey, man, for 2 months now, you've been telling me you had this badass fight up your sleeve. Now, we know that they did. They tried. They had multiple badass fights up their sleeve that they tried.
It's not like they weren't trying to do anything.
It's not like they're lying. It's not like they're being shady. But if you were to say to me, hey, for 2 months, you've been telling me you had a fight, and then Jamal Hill said you just called him yesterday about it. Now, even then, they could say, well, hold on. We didn't talk to Jamal about it.
Yeah, we knew it was in the works.
We knew it was in the works. Like, we just didn't – we wanted to make sure his knee was okay before we offered it to – or Achilles was okay before we offered it to him.
That would have been a better explanation. That would have been more easy to accept.
Right.
As opposed to what felt like, oh, shit, who can we possibly rope into getting this, you know? But, I mean, and that's just –
It is a pretty badass fight to come up with on a day's notice.
I mean, but, boy, when you think about it, it is, but, you know, like, they were – you know, and this is going to sound like I'm making a disparaging market, but they were scraping the barrel for what was the possibility to be a main event. People just booked. I mean, that's the problem of
being booked. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have to book these venues and they do this stuff months in advance. And so they have to, like, they only have so many high value chess pieces that they can really throw into these roles. And this is like one of the last possibilities that they could get. I mean, unless they were able to make these other pieces fit that obviously didn't work. I mean, you see Jones. Have you seen Jones in any of the videos over him over in Thailand right now? Like, he's over at – I forget the name of the gym. He's fucking huge.
Huge, bro. Dude. He's like a swole.
Yeah, like big boy. Yep. Like, he – you know, he's not ready to fight.
Right.
You know, like, he needs some time to cut and get back into, like, not to say that he's not training or whatever, but it seems like he's
continues to pack on muscle and continues to get
big. I mean,
big.
Like, Broy's been in the gym, but I think he's been in the weight gym as opposed to, you know, like, the MMA gym getting fight ready, but who knows. But I like the main event. I'm not sad about, you know, how the cards played out. It's just I get people's frustration, so I'm sympathetic to them. I'm also on the same side. I'm empathetic to what the UFC was trying to put together and what they were trying to do. It's tough. It's tough moving all these pieces around and giving all this stuff because they've established a baseline that is at a very high level, and people will give them shit if it's anything remotely not the greatest thing since sliced bread. Every event, everybody's been putting this thing on that every event needs to be better and bigger and better than the previous stuff. And at some point, it's just not possible, you know? I mean, due to injuries and due to what's available, it's just not possible to keep raising the bar that close to an event.
If you're going to criticize, you at least have to be honest. You would be disingenuous if you didn't acknowledge the fact that they had a lot of fights they tried to put together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they tried to put some big ones in.
Yeah, so. you got. I mean, you got to give them credit for that. As much as people, you know, have the right to kind of be like, bro, you pulled this out of your butt at the last moment, you know. But you got to admit that they tried. It wasn't like they were sitting on the side like, ha ha ha, I'm gonna collect all those monies, and I'm not gonna give them anything. I mean, a lot of people were fine if they would have just settled to where it was. You know, some people were saying, oh, the Bilal and Leon, you know, that'd be enough to make it happen or whatever. But if people were like, no, that's that Leon thing. They're saving that for something else, you know. And then a lot of people were saying, well, maybe it's good as is. I heard people saying it was fine as is. You know, maybe throw another card down below, you know, another fight down below. And even if that was the case, I think people would have got over it then too. Because when you look at the card, it is a good card. But then if you go into the thing and you're like, okay – you know, then the BMF belt would have been way up there. Then it would have been. It would be Zhang and Yan, and then probably the BMF, or maybe that.
At that point, you would put the BMF.
They
on
would
top.
Put the BMF up first. So
you know, you bring up Bilal Muhammad. We could spend a lot of time on this, but I mean, Bilal is the nicest guy. He's the positive guy. I actually heard. I heard a clip of an interview today that he did with the Schmo and Helen Yee, where like he said that. And I think it's a great attitude where he's like, you know, because his name wasn't even brought up for this, right?
Yeah.
To know that Leon Edwards accepted three different fighters and none of them were him.
I don't see how that's possible.
Bro, that is brutal. But he said.
How on earth can that even be possible?
I don't get it. He has to. And thankfully, it sounds like he's not dejected. But look,
secretly, he's dejected.
He's got to be.
He's got to be.
His quote was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it pulled up for me, but basically, he was like, you know what? If you know, if all three of those guys, you called them and they said no, I'm not going back to them to ask them again. You know, if Leon said yes, but they didn't say yes, then I'm not going back. You know what I mean? Which we know Hamzat, it's a travel issue. We don't know that he said no. We don't even know that the other one said no. But Bilal had the nice attitude. Like
Hamzat can't get in the country.
I know. He can't get here. So
That's a whole other side story. We tell people watch what you're doing when you're going overseas and you're enjoying the company of all these people with money, because at some point it could rear up and bite you in the butt. And right. In this case, it did.
Or just your association with somebody.
Just your association with somebody, and it might not be. In your eyes, it might be the most harmless whatever little thing, but unfortunately, sometimes there's ramifications. We saw when the Irish, was it the gangster?
The Kinahans?
Kinahans. Yeah. And like what that did to like Tyson Fury and some other cats, like the shit's real, and I think that partially managers got to do a better job of like watching their fighters. You want to wine and dine and take your fighters and introduce them to people. You got to be aware of what this is doing for your client. This might be lining your pocket, but you got to understand that you're possibly shooting your fighters' careers in the butt. Like, the fact that he can't come into the United States right now, I'm sure it'll all get cleared up eventually.
He'll fight in Saudi Arabia. He'll fight in Abu Dhabi.
But, he's losing the – granted, he's had some weird health issues and other little stuff that we've seen come up on social media and different little shit. But he's losing valuable time. Just like we've talked about, father time doesn't wait. And if you're in the prime and you're not able to fight because there's no UFC event over there until they can get over to Saudi or until they can get over somewhere, like, bro, that sucks. Bro, I feel really bad
for
him.
And by the way, fans are jumping off the bandwagon with him, man. They're starting to say, like, the guy, which I think is silly. The dude's skills are still there. Yeah. Like, whenever he can fight, the dude is still going to be a force to be
reckoned
with.
Is he saying shit on, like, social media or the fact that I haven't paid attention.
No,
so
just more
know.
Like, yeah, just the fact that he hasn't been able to fight. People are like, why am I even watch that guy? He's not even around. It's just weird to see, like, fans are fickle. We get it.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting to see, like, here this guy was unquestioned, uncrowned champion to, like,
saying
the guy's
all the right
not
things,
even that good.
Doing all the things. Yeah. That's just ridiculous.
The guy's not even that good.
That part's ridiculous.
Hey, let me ask you one more thing I want to get your take on, because I'm kind of curious about this one, too. So Sean O'Malley, and I think this was on Ariel's show, came out and did an interview where he said that he's really more interested in fighting Ilia Topuria than he is fighting Merab Dvalishvili. Of course, he's got to get through Chito Vera first.
I was going to say, what about Chito, bro?
Yeah, he's got to get through Chito Vera first, which is no gimme there by any stretch of the imagination. That's going to be a hell of a fight. Chito can ruin some plans.
If he's looking past Chito, bro, just give the belt up right now, because you're going to lose the belt. If you're looking over Chito and thinking about the next guy, he's going to lose.
Because he will make you pay for it.
Yes.
And I saw that interview, and I've had this same idea. You and I have talked about this plenty over the years, where I'm not so much into the champ stuff. Like, I like seeing guys clean out a division. Yeah. Like, that's what is more impressive to me. And I saw Damon Martin come out and tweet. He's like, I know this would never happen. I think he clarified it by that. But he's like, I wish the UFC would institute something where, like, you can't go for champ status until you've defended the belt five times or something like that.
Five's a lot.
But I do kind of like that idea, right? Like maybe there has to be some qualification that, because here's it.
It used to be you had to be Conor McGregor to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Conor changed that. Everybody's like, oh, I want to do that. Because here's the thing. If you're Sean O'Malley, right? Because I could see a lot of people. Now, here's the thing. It would be very easy from the outside looking in to be like, of course Sean doesn't want to face Merab. He's ducking him. He's ducked him for years. And you could make that argument. I'm not saying that. Sean is a smart guy, and he knows – what have we talked about? The window is short in this. Yep. Being on top is short, right? And so what's going to make more money? If you're Sean O'Malley, knowing the number of chances you can step into the cage are minimal, and you're trying to do as much as you can in as little a time as possible – what is going to – even if we're not talking about legacy, even if we're not talking about resume, let's just talk about pure dollars and cents. Given what's going on right now, it's what's going to make you more money, Sean O'Malley versus Merab Dvalishvili or Sean O'Malley versus Ilia Topuria? And I don't think I have to explain which one it is. It's the fight with Ilia Topuria, of course. That would just – the pay-per-view sales on that,
pay-per-view.
The international intrigue, it's going to be a far bigger and
especially
depending
on where it takes place.
Oh, especially depending on where it takes place. And I'm a Merab Dvalishvili fan. Yeah. I was the guy that when Merab was 0-2 in the UFC, I was saying, this dude is still going to be a future champion. You could see it, right? So I'm a Merab fan, but because of the lost time, hanging out behind Aljamain, I just don't think the stars are assigned. And so if you're Sean, I can't blame him for calling out – or not calling out Ilia Topuria, but saying that's the fight he'd be most interested in, because I think it would make him the most money. But I think that would be in the sense of meritocracy – that would be bullshit. It would, in the same way that it's bullshit for Bilal Muhammad not to be fighting for a title, it would be bullshit for Merab Dvalishvili not to fight for a title.
Yeah, and you know, credit to Sean, neither one of those fights is easy.
No.
I mean, after seeing what Ilya did, I mean, who wants to call that dude out, you know, unless the fact of you just want to get a huge payday. And looking at what Merab did, who wants to fight Merab? I mean, like, what Merab was able to do to Henry, granted, Henry hasn't been in the cage in a minute, but it's still Henry Cejudo.
Still Henry
Cejudo. For Pete's sake.
Who looked in great shape.
Yes.
Who was phenomenal.
That first round, I was like, okay, yep. We got a fight on our hands. And yep. Then it was just Merab did what Merab does, and that's the sort of thing that Merab would do against anybody. And both of them are tough matchups. I think maybe Sean sees the Ilya fight. It's going to be a stand-up fight. He has a better chance to kind of do his thing. I mean, Sean's no slouch on the ground, but it's just a jiu-jitsu match and what Merab does is two different things, you know? And it's just I can see where he feels like he has a better chance to maybe show his style and catch Ilya than he does for Merab. But so maybe it's twofold. Maybe it's the – you know, styles mix fights, but also it's that big payday. But I think he has a better chance of winning the Ilya fight than he does the Merab fight. And I don't think he has a great chance of beating Ilya. So it's just tough. Ilya right now, I mean, like, shoot, boy.
He's looking good.
He was looking really, really good. And maybe it's just recency bias. You know, maybe I'll see Sean fight again and I'm going to be like, oh, okay, I was silly. Sean's the man. I mean, Sean is the man, but I mean, it's getting too much where you see these guys just change stuff, whether it's two fights, three fights, four fights, whether it's a year or two in your division before you can even have the possibility of going to another division. It has to be something. You can't just get the belt, sit on it, not defend it, and then decide, okay, it's time to, you know, to test the wings.
Yep.
And make some money and jump divisions. Like, that's not the place for it. And going back to Bilal, I mean, it's just criminal at this point that the guy is not getting his shot, you know. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that the fact that if he wasn't even offered the potential to fight, it's just silly. And at some point, I feel bad for him. I mean, and whether people are speculating it's because of, you know, his support of, you know, these people and that and blah, 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 all this other shit. Like, if that's the case, it's just like, okay, then, you know.
What are we doing?
Yeah, we have Dana saying, like, keep politics out of the sport.
Yep.
But then, okay, is that what's causing this guy not getting his shot?
See,
you know,
like,
or not?
See, here, the one to me that was the big kick in the ass the other night was, like, I had said all along, I'm like, look, dude, I don't think you can headline 300 with Bilal versus Leon. I just don't think you can. I think people would riot. So I kind of understood, like, if Leon was looking at something else and they went around Bilal for one fight.
Because of the level of the fight or the fighters involved?
The fighters involved. Just because it was 300. I just think the names, like, that you want bigger names or whatever.
But then when you put them up to what they put right now, if you had to pick the pairing, would you rather see Leon and Bilal fight or Alex and Jamal fight? Which fight, honestly, would you rather see?
Probably Leon and Bilal.
100%.
Yeah.
For me, it's an easy pick.
You have the history with him.
Yes.
You have the champion versus
the guy
that has won everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so, whereas, don't get me wrong, Alex and Jamal is going to be a great fight.
It's going to be a great fight.
It's going
to be a great fight. But I mean, like, just, and I'm only just teasing you because when you're saying, like, this wasn't the fight people have thought, but it's like, okay, now we've moved on. We know what's being offered. But now if you tell me if I had the entree over here or the entree that was presented,
yeah, which one do you get?
I would rather the other entree.
Well, the one that kicked my ass the other night was when somebody asked Dana, like, about this whole situation.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, now that Leon's not headlining 300, what do you do with him? And Dana was like, I don't know. We'll figure that out. Now, granted, Dana's got a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the matchmakers have already determined that it is Leon and Bilal because it's at 301 or 302 or whatever the case may be. And so sometimes I do think people – and you and I have preached this over the years, I think – is that sometimes I think people forget that Dana forgets stuff, or Dana has so much stuff going on that he's not even sure. There was a time when he micromanaged every little thing in the company. It's not that time anymore.
Yeah.
The company is way too big. There's too much going on. He doesn't micromanage every single decision.
You can't remember when he says that he's never going to put a guy in the Hall of Fame. You can't possibly.
That was pretty funny.
Him.
Actually, he's like, I've had beef with so many people. I don't even remember.
He's like, I don't even remember anymore. Well, you know, it's not going to be 301. 301's in Rio,
True.
So 302's Prudential Center, Newark, New Jersey. Nothing says 302 like Bilal and Leon.
Nothing says Newark, New Jersey like.
I mean, like. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, I feel bad because now it's like Leon couldn't ever get a shot. to get the title shot. He was sitting off to the side waiting for it and waiting for it. And now you're telling me he's got the belt and he can't get a fight either. He's still waiting on the side. Like, is the guy just – is he cursed? I mean, we feel like Bilal's been cursed because the dude can't get a shot at the title thing. It's just roles have been reversed. Now he's the guy that can't get a shot. But now the guy that couldn't get a shot that finally got a shot – no, still can't get a shot. Like,
pretty funny.
Like, what is going on with these guys? I mean, I feel so bad for him, but yeah, I mean, if that fight was on 300, I think more people would have been stoked for 300 than what it currently is. But whatever, it's beyond. We know what 300 is, and it is. It's going to be a great fight. It's going to be a great card. Alex and Jamal is going to be awesome. Alex has just been fucking crushing it, man. He looks like a man on a mission, man. It's hard to pick against him.
Yep.
Jamal, man, I mean, I like the guy. I mean, even people are giving him shit for his weird takes. He was weirdly defending, like, attacking a bunch of people that were trying to, like, you know, on Twitter, and he just got really weird with some shit. But dude's an interesting cat. I love the story. Man. When we see him and he's chatting on Fight Week, he's awesome. I mean, so I give him all the benefit of the doubt. Like, Twitter and social media is a crazy, toxic fucking world, and I can easily see where somebody reads something wrong, their brain interprets it,
yeah,
and then you write something, and then it's out there,
yeah,
and then people shit on you. It's the only reason I subscribe to the fucking Twitter is because I want the ability to edit something. Even the other day, I put, like,
so true.
I typed something, and I put, like, UFC 288 or 2-something, and one of our listeners, the name's escaping right now, was shitting on me, but he deserved it. I was like, oh shit!
I tagged something 283 the other day.
Did you?
I don't know how that happened.
But it allows me. I had to figure out how to go and edit, because at first I was trying to use the app and it wouldn't let me. And I was like, well, "Why am I paying for this?" And then I figured out that if I did on the desktop, I was like, "Oh, okay." I made it within the window or whatever. Whatever.
You know what's funny? I don't know why. As you're talking about Jamal's beef on social media and his battling, I was thinking about that New York story where they walked into the protests. Remember Jamal was in the
van, the van?
Like,
yeah,
where he was,
yeah,
like ready to jump out, and yeah, Robbie Lawler was like, "Keep your energy,
because
if the door opens, we're gonna need all of it." Yeah. I was like, "Oh shit,
shit's legit."
So great, Robbie Lawler's the man.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Busy weekend this weekend. Like I said, you can actually watch every single fight between the two cards if you want to, which is exactly what I plan to do. PFL and Bellator will kick things off 12:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific here in our time zone.
How do people see that? How do they watch
that? That would be on ESPN Plus in the U.S. as well.
So they're not trying to do like a pay per view?
No, the main card is on pay per view.
F them. So how much is that?
$49.99, I believe, is the price.
Oh,
so,
that's right. That's the one you said with $50.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I love this card. I love the concept. The champion versus champion. I love that they're coming out swinging like this. They released the belts. I don't know if you saw the detail of it. I'm actually supposed to talk to Peter Murray later tonight. I was hoping to talk to him last night, but it didn't work out. So we're supposed to talk tonight. There's obviously a big time change. He's over in Saudi Arabia already. In the two champion versus champion bouts, so that is Hinnat Fahedov versus Ryan Bader and Impa Kasanganai versus Johnny Eblen, not only are they fighting, of course, you know, for bragging rights and whatever else, there is an actual new belt on the line as well, a unified champions belt. And I don't know if you saw the detail. They gave me the video the other day, and I put it out on my social media if you want to see it. I know it's been posted other places as well, but just saying it's there. But I guess there's like a little championship ring as well, you get like a World Series ring or a NFL Super Bowl ring or whatever. There's like a ring embedded into the belt, so you can actually like take it out, so you have like not only this new championship belt, but then there's a ring part of it as well that you could like wear around to wear your championship ring. So
if you lose a ring, does your belt look screwed?
Yeah, you probably – you're like, do you have any replacement parts?
I took it out and I got wasted. And I can't remember where I left it. It was a long night in Vegas.
Can you describe the part that's missing? Yeah, it's the ring.
The ring part of it.
The ring is gone.
Yeah, let me bring the belt in. Let me show you.
Let me show you. It's the So anyway, I don't know. So that's on there. I love this. The thing that's going to look, $50 on a Saturday afternoon is going to be tough. It's just easy. I mean, here's the thing that's always hard for me to deal with on this, because I mean, like, everybody sits out there and goes, man, this pay-per-view is going to bomb. It's not going to do anything. Like, I can't imagine the ESPN and PFL think it's going to do a bunch of pay-per-view buys either. You know what I mean? I guess they just want to recoup what they can, or maybe it's a market buy. I mean, they'll never really talk about, you know, they'll just say it's a pay-per-view, it's a super fight. But, I mean, there's some great fight. Clay Collard versus AJ McKee.
That's an awesome fight.
That's an amazing fight. Thiago Santos versus Yoel Romero. You know something weird's happening there.
Yeah.
Something weird is definitely happening.
That's a good way of putting it.
I don't know what it's going to be, but something weird is going to happen. Bruno Capelluzzo versus Vadim Nemkov could be a lot of fun at heavyweight. Ray Cooper III versus Jason Jackson. Depending on what Ray Cooper shows up, if Ray Cooper shows up to fight, if he shows up to fight, it's going to be fun. If
Jason
he doesn't,
Jackson's badass, man.
Gabriel Braga versus Patricio Pitbull. That was the rescheduled fight.
Yeah.
I mean, not the one we were looking for, but still a good fight. And then you get to the two championship fights you mentioned. Those are all on pay-per-view. The prelims, Henry Corrales versus Aaron Pico should be a lot of fun. Biagio Ali Walsh finally making his professional debut.
Yeah.
Clarissa Shields is back on there as well. And you've got a couple local talents as well. Saudi Arabian showcases in both professional and amateur. So I'm excited for this. I think it's a big event. It's the first combined event. Man, I don't know how much you've been working with the PFL Bellator team ahead of this directly, but CJ Tuttle made the transition over from Bellator to PFL.
Pretty stoked about that. That's a stellar addition.
I love the PFL team. Yeah. They're fantastic. Yeah. They do a great job, and I love seeing him with the CJs. We've been working with him for a long time
CJ's
as part of Bellator.
Legit.
Good dude. So,
yeah, that was a good pickup for sure.
Great addition for them. So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to this, and then it leads right into the UFC card as well. Of course, the UFC card in Mexico City. I guess if you're making your bets or you're looking at those things, don't forget the altitude. It is a real thing. We've seen it over and over. The altitude of Mexico City does have it does wreak havoc on people, whether they think it will or not. Brandon Moreno versus Brandon Royval, rematch there, fantastic fight. I'm a Raw Dog fan, but I don't know how.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know.
That's how you got that kid.
Yes. It's hard, man, when you're going against Brandon Moreno as well. I mean, I know Royval's excited. He's like, dude, I've leveled up and I'm ready to show it. So I love that fight. It's hard to pick against Brandon Moreno in the spot, but know that, ooh, baby, I like it. Raw. Yeah, I'll be cheering for that. I like that. Yair Rodriguez, Brian Ortega, we talked about it. It's a key fight in the division. Very potentially a number one contender fight, depending on what happens with Alexander Volkanovski. And then you just start getting into some – I mean, they know what they were doing with this card. Daniel Zellhuber is Francisco Prado. Raul Rosas Jr. is back versus Ricky Tercios. Come on, that's going to be fun. And, look, it's just some exciting matchups all the way down. A lot of Mexican representation, a lot of Latin American representation, and I think it should be a fun card. And like I said, they don't overlap, so I don't. I mean,
this should be good.
This is a good time of year, right? Because I mean, the playoffs haven't started in basketball or hockey. Football is over with. College football is over with.
Yeah.
So if ever there was a Saturday where you could be like, you know what, man. I don't normally like to sit back and watch like 13 hours of MMA, but this Saturday I'm just watching 13 hours of MMA.
If they listen to this podcast, they watch some hours of MMA. And I mean, and it's cool because we get one. I love the fact that we get to do it from home. These home games where we actually get to watch from the couch is pretty stellar. This Mexico card's going to be good. I mean, but let's be real. I mean, like, the Mexican athletes are going to get their shine and they're going to get their spotlight. If you had to pair it and, like, you're only going to watch one of the two, it sucks that the PFL Bellator is a pay-per-view because it does make you have to breach in your wallet. But in terms of, you know, that card, if it was A versus B, that card just blows away the UFC card.
Yeah.
I mean, the UFC card is good, and it's good for its own little reason. But, I mean, let's just call it as it
is. If they were both – Free, and they were both on at the same time, and you only had one TV.
PFL Bellator.
I'm watching
all day
PFL
long.
Bellator.
That card is just ridiculous. And it's just tough because, I mean, the UFC just asked people to reach into their pockets for an event, and you know there's an event right around the corner. You know, that's another good one at the beginning of March. So it's kind of tough, you know, for people that are, you know, paying. For the people that are streaming, they don't give a fuck. They're going to watch. They're going to be enjoying it. But – yes, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun watching fights top to bottom, and it's going to be good shit all day long. Like, I do like watching fights at the very beginning of the day because it just sort of sets the mood for the day. Just get up, I make coffee, and then boom, like, fights are going.
9:30 in the morning Pacific,
it's
bro.
It's pretty ridiculous. 9:30. It's pretty ridiculous. So there's, like, no time to dilly-dally. It's literally, like, wake up, get a shower, grab your laptop. Find your spot on the couch, plug in, and boom, here we go.
Maybe hop in the spin suite for a couple fights.
Why not?
You know what I'm saying?
I like the way you're thinking.
See?
I like the way you're thinking.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's gonna be a good night, and it's gonna be pretty stellar. You know, and it's interesting, you know, because a lot of these fighters on the UFC card, it's kind of learning them all over again. Some of these, the last time I saw them were either on the Contender Series or maybe like one of their very first fights where they're maybe on like the undercard where I don't even remember, you know, and that's just no slight to them. It's just the fact there's just too many cards. I can't keep track.
It's just what we talk. It's just hard to keep track.
I'll see somebody, I'm like, man, that guy's a badass. Is this his debut? And I'm like, oh, well, this is his third fight, and I've seen all of them, you know.
It happens.
You know, it just tends to happen. But, no, it's going to be great, man. I'm looking forward to just kind of being able to do it from the couch. And, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, maybe I'll even order some food in or something, just make a day of it.
There we go.
Yeah.
I like the idea. Well, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to be watching. I've already told my wife, be ready, because I'm watching MMA all day, the entire day. Not that she would expect anything different from me, but I just want to make sure it was clear. Don't make any other appointments.
Don't make plans for me. Like, you and the kid can go do something, but Dad's got to sit on the couch and do this.
Usually during the day, you know, before a UFC event, like we might have some plans or little errands to run or whatever. Now, Sunday, I block out as my family day. I try to keep Sunday as I do nothing, but we do whatever the family wants to do. We make plans, have something to look forward to. But usually Saturday morning we do something, but not this one. I'm taking it up. MMA is taking it all. Next week we will be back in Vegas, so it will be a fight night event. So you and I will certainly be together to cover that one. It will be a home game.
Yes.
You and I will be on the cover.
Lots of
home games coming up. Boy, March is loaded in Las Vegas, right?
It wasn't supposed to be.
That's right.
This is the moved Saudi card.
Saudi card. So we get an early start, right? We get a super early start next week.
I think so.
I believe so. I want to say we get like 10 a.m. prelims and 1 p.m. main card or something like that for next Saturday. So that'll be
Cool. Because they were trying to be done in time for something. Is there something going on in the evening?
I don't know. Is there?
I don't know. I felt like there was a reason as well, but maybe not.
I thought it was just because it was relocated from Saudi Arabia. Is it because they're trying to be done for the Nitro Cross stuff?
Could be.
Not at the Apex.
I mean, because it's not
like,
I mean, when you look at the card, it's not like it's slam-packed full of guys that were going to be raging in Saudi.
That's true. They actually kind of changed a lot of the card.
I don't know. Maybe I'm, you know, again, it's all a blur. But I'll have to go back and look. And I felt like there was another reason why they want to get out, but maybe that was just
I did see Nitro Cross is going to be here. Cowboy Cerrone is drive. By the way, Cowboy is busier in retirement than he was in his fighting career.
Yeah.
He was busy as a fighter. Well, they got him riding bulls, riding cars.
I mean, he would have did that while he was active, but they were like, bro, you can't because you're going to get hurt. We're not allowing you.
Now they're like, not only can you, like, we'll pay you to do it.
Dude, I still – like, you brought up Cowboy. And me, I just – that time when you talked about the scuba diving in the caves.
That story is intense.
It is. Like, I forget – you guys have to go back. Was that just in an interview, or did he tell it in a media day?
I think he did it. Originally, he talked about it on Rogan.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe he recounted some of it in a media day. But, yeah, that show
was intense. That was intense. Yeah, man. Like, literally life or death moments, like some of the decisions he had to make. But, yeah, so I'm like, bro, they had to save you from yourself. That's why they were like, no, don't go do this. Don't go do this. Don't go do this because we want – you know, we have a vested interest in you, you know, and now he's living his best life. He's got his hair redone. I think his teeth are redone. He's living the life, man. Good for him, man. But I mean, like, it wasn't like he was going to ever slow down in retirement. Not for the next maybe 25 years or something like that.
That dude literally will ride it till the wheels fall off. That is
100%. And I'm so happy for him. I mean, like, he deserved it. I mean, like, if there was ever a cat that was always like 100%, like, hard on his sleeve, you knew what you're getting with him. He did everything. He said what he meant. He acted out his words. I mean, like, and he was just a genuine guy. So, like, you want somebody like that to have, like, to live their best life and have it.
100%.
And he did the work to set himself up for that, you know. So I'm glad he's doing – I still haven't watched that movie he's in. I like the one that's on, like, Netflix or somewhere.
Sure, it's incredible.
One of these days, I was like, go on. I was like, it's today the day. And every time I like get, I'm like, I think I can find something else
to watch. A Korean rom-com on here.
Like, they just know that I need some new stuff, and there's a new show listing, and it's just not that cowboy movie yet. But
I love it, man. I
did watch. There is a new like a House of Ninjas on Netflix. It's badass.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like a
series or a movie?
It's a limited series. I think it was like 8 episodes. So it doesn't take you long, but they're all really, really good about this family of ninjas and stuff. But it's so good.
House of Ninjas. All right,
it's
I'll
so
it
good. If you like ninjas.
You already
like,
watched it all or you're in the
love?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I almost did it one night, and then it was like I had 2 episodes, and I think it was I had to work in the morning, and it was like – past midnight. And I was like, dude, just go to bed.
Like, they'll still be there tomorrow.
Save it for dinner tomorrow or something. But it's really, really good. It's and they re-released Warrior, which I want to say maybe was on another platform, but that's back over on Netflix as well. And that's another like Chinese like gangster, you know, ties back. It's a period piece, you know. That one's pretty awesome. But yeah, House of Ninjas is pretty.
There you
pretty
go.
Fucking sweet.
Recommendations for cold coffee. Pump some iron and go watch House of Ninjas. Do the conjugate method. All right, listen.
I love it. You got it right there. You got it right.
I got it. I thought you were making stuff up earlier. You showed it to me when you said that out loud. I was thinking something totally different.
I thought you were talking about kanji and like a food stuff.
I wasn't sure. I was like, you're just making words up. That don't even make no sense. All right, listen. We will have a full post UFC PFL Bellator coverage over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. So if you want to support us over there for as little as $3 a month, it'll help us out quite a bit, and you get those and a half episodes as well. So we certainly appreciate that. But if not, if you could at least take a second to rate us, review us wherever you're listening, that would certainly be fantastic. I would definitely appreciate that as well. But more than anything, we just hope you enjoy the things that we do here. We hope you have fun along with us. We hope you love the sport, and we just say thanks for listening. We'll be right back.